Hi, and welcome to Coffee and Classic Movies by
Joshua
and Korea. We're husband and wife, and we love to brew and enjoy some coffee
and some awesome movies
and talk about them. So we hope you enjoy today's episode.
Enjoy.
Hey, and thanks for tuning in. I'm Korea.
I'm Joshua.
And this is Coffee and Classic Movies. What's in the cup? But first, before you tell me, how are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Pretty good, hubby.
Well, that's good. We just want to say before we get started, we want to say thank you.
Thank you so much.
Because without you, we wouldn't be able to do the podcast. Thank you for your interest and feedback and all that wonderful stuff. So today, we have for coffee, we have Blanchard's Blend. I know it kind of sounds like redundant. Yes, we have Blanchard's Coffee again. This episode, two episodes in a row. I just felt like it was felt well. We kind of want to do like a little local taste on coffee because Richmond, Virginia has a explosion of coffee roasters. Mm-hmm. And we kind of want to iron them and do stuff locally too as well. So why Blanchard's Blend? Well, it's a balanced coffee. It's a medium roast. It's a balanced coffee that has hints of caramel and chocolate in it.
And we get the whole bean.
Yeah, I try to always get the whole bean because it's fun to blend it up yourself. But the ground is really good too. I've had the ground as well. That's before we got our grinder. It's a pretty layer coffee. And it just has hints of it. Now, depends on how much cream and sugar you put in your coffee.
I tend to want a lot.
Yes. So you wouldn't drown out some of the layers. So I suggest taste it first black and you can actually taste the different layers into it. And the reason why we thought of this coffee for a particular movie is because of the layer factor and the part of it being balanced.
It's straightforward too in taste. It's nothing like we had a coffee recently. It had blueberry, mango. Mm-hmm. This doesn't have any of that.
It's called every man.
They describe it as every man's coffee.
Yeah. So, I mean, this coffee is just perfect for what the movie that we watched that we rewatched this week, two days ago before we did this to refresh ourselves about the movie, which took us forever to watch that night, and then we had almost little shit. We had just flipped the recorder on.
We had a long discussion.
Yes.
About it.
And no sleep that night.
Actually, I watched this when I was a lot younger. I think I was 8 or 9 or 10 when I saw it for the first time.
But what movie is it, ma'am?
We're going with Spike Lee's "Do the Right Thing." Released in 1989.
What's the synopsis? Since you have your laptop pulled up, read it to us.
So, on the hottest day of the year, on a street in the Bedford Stuyvesant section of Brooklyn, everyone's hate and bigotry smolders and builds until it explodes into violence. Director Spike Lee, writer Spike Lee, and some other great stars that were cast.
Come on now. Ozzie Davis.
Danny Aoli.
Who was nominated for the Best Supporting Actor. So it was Spike nominated for Best Original Screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about this, and Spike Lee is very known to talk about race in a lot of his films. I think he, in this film, and the reason why the coffee pairs well with it too, Blanchard's Blend. By the way, if you want to get Blanchard's coffee, you can see the link below to the website. But the balance part. One thing that Spike Lee in this particular story did very well is that he balanced. There's race involved. I mean, you're talking about Brooklyn in this time frame, 88, I think it was filmed. It was very multicultural. You had Italian Americans move out most of Brooklyn. When you had African Americans have been planting there from the 60s and 70s.
You see a Korean family.
Koreans, the Asian Americans were coming in. You had Hispanics, like from Puerto Rico and stuff, moving into there. So you had like these four dominant cultures all living in a neighborhood. And one thing I find to be interesting about what he does, he balances the viewpoints in this film so that you got a sense of where they were coming from and what was plaguing them in their sense, which was quite interesting. You don't see that usually, unfortunately. Sometimes some filmmakers want to only give you one side of the story and give you sympathy on one side, where in this case, he gives you what is brewing, what's causing this rise in temperature from each side of the culture. Mm-hmm. And I think that was kind of interesting because the way the story is made is Do the Right Thing, which stars your character Mookie, who's played by Spike Lee.
And great acting from him. And it felt, the movie itself felt very authentic. Even though it was shot in the 80s, it still felt very real today.
Yeah. Which is so interesting.
A lot of the issues.
It has a scene in the movie that is so relatable to what happened a couple of years ago up in New York. So, with, I think, a man named Gardner. I can't remember his first name, Gardner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know who you're... Yeah, I can't... for some reason, his first name... I'm blanking on his first name. Eric Garner.
Yep.
Yeah. There's so much to say from just... I mean, the story alone from how it was filmed. I think for Spike, this was somewhat of... He... Not only... His acting was great, but I felt like he was being himself. And I think he was bringing a lot of his personal experiences into the story, which made it feel even more real.
Correct.
Everybody else just helped drive the story in such a great way.
Yep. I would, and another reason why, besides balance, this coffee that blends well, being as balance between showing the different sides of the cultures.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing, being that this coffee is layered, it kind of works well with the story because the story is very layered. I think I was telling you that while we were watching it, I would pause the frame. I said, look at this. Look what they're trying to show you. And the one thing cool that what he did was, in particular scenes, very important scenes, they were layered. So what you were seeing right in front of the camera was only the surface. If you look beyond the camera, where the focus was, you'll see the other layers of the story, or the other layers of the character.
Right.
And that was huge. Because, let's be real, when we watch a film, how often do we just keep it surface with a film? We do.
Yeah. It's one of the easiest things to do.
So, in this film, it's like he did it on purpose. It's like he had, besides, you know, being as, he's making it feel real, because if you're in the neighborhood, there's stuff going on in the backdrop and stuff like that. But he was very particular what he did in a lot of the ways that he did. Because... He was trying to say, hey, if you look beyond, you'll get a deeper meaning here, or you'll understand the character more. That means you get to know them more. Because it's so important when the climax of the film comes towards the end, you understand why each person or each culture, group of you know, by and of that culture, is feeling the way they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
The problem you notice in this film is that pretty much every character in this film is not taking the time to know the other person of the other culture.
And you're not saying Spike Lee played it right.
No, he did a purpose.
It was a good problem to have in this.
Well, he made a point.
Yeah,
it was a sticking point to the film. Because none of the people wanted to get to know the other person's culture.
Mm-hmm.
Where they come from. Why are they who they are? What makes them up, you know? Because there's a scene, Isaac Davis. God, I love Isaac Davis. He's the mayor. He's the drunk person on the street, which everybody knows. He knows everybody. And when I mean knows everybody, this doesn't mean he just knows their names. He actually knows people. And you would just label him as just a drunk. Because I think he was doing great with it. What there came a scene later on in the story where, you know, he's kind of sitting on the sidewalk. He's sitting on the steps to one of the properties, and he's approached by some younger crowd of African Americans in the culture, and they kind of just attacked him. And, you know, you just call him a drunk. And it's very other different things, which you then see within each culture, there's clashes between young and old. And he has this beautiful monologue, or this beautiful short little monologue, where he talks about staring at his kids and knowing that he doesn't have money to feed them, and the looks in their faces. And you can just start to see the pain. I mean, like, God, that's great acting.
He wanted to do more, but he
couldn't. And you can see the pain in him. And the young man's response to him is, I don't care to know your pain. This is a very pivotal part. Because, like, he's telling you that no one's caring to know the other. If we understood the mayor's pain, we will start to understand him and who he is. And why does he drink?
Why do you see people do
what they're doing?
Right.
And that was a huge scene. Because that same character stops Mookie one time when he's delivering pizzas. And what does he say to him? He said, Mookie, I want to tell you something. And Mookie doesn't really, he's like kind of upset that he stops him.
His mind is just like, one path. Like he's trying to stay focused, trying to just get to his destination.
And then you hear what phrase do you hear?
I think he's like, I got it. Okay.
No. Uh-huh. What did he say to Mookie? Do the right thing.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, that's it. He goes, yeah, remember that. Do the right thing.
He's like, yeah.
Which I've always told you. The name or the title of the movies always end up in the in the film some way or somehow.
Yeah, I see it.
But he tells himself in Pinnacle. I think a lot of times we can watch that film and dismiss the mayor. But the mayor is actually, it's so funny because we dismiss him as a drunk and so much. Actually, I think in a way, Spike Lee's telling us to be like the mayor. Mm-hmm. Is to actually take the time to get to know each other. Because the mayor has gotten to know everybody. He got to know the Koreans. He got to know South Italians.
Yeah.
He got to know everybody on that block, the Puerto Ricans and stuff.
Because when you take the time to get to know someone, you start to understand their pain and their hurts, and everybody's got them. Yeah. And then you start to understand the why behind what people do.
Correct.
It reminds me of going back to coffee. People think, well, it's coffee. Coffee is coffee. But it's about the bean. It's about the roasting process. It's
about where it's grown.
It could be
where
it's grown, yeah.
Yeah, it's grown, because that's a pivotal.
Mm-hmm. And, like, even the water you use to, you know, filter. Anyway.
Oh, well, yeah, what are you talking about for the coffee? Yeah. Actually, technically, you just want bare minimal water, because it takes out any flavor, additional flavor to the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a deep process to get your final thing in your cup. It's layered. And you might just dismiss it, but it's so funny is if you understood what took it into it, you'll understand how it's got the flavor it has. And that's the same thing with the story that he's trying to really tell you. He's really trying to tell you to do the right thing is to actually get to know people. And you notice in this film that people so often are acting how they feel. It's based on how they feel. Their decision making is on how they truly feel towards and their culture. And it could be the pain. Like, you see Sal's son, oldest son, he is very racist to the African Americans in the neighborhood because he's teased from his friends, Italian Americans. I think his dad says, right, anybody who teases you is not your friend. But that hurts him because he has to understand that. Like, that's what's driving his son's point of view. And imagine, too, you also notice from this too, there's a lot of backstory that's shown in 2.2.
2 plus 2.
When you start to understand that he's probably seen some stuff in that neighborhood that's not so good.
Explain what 2 plus 2 is for those.
2 plus 2 is some mostly is never really used in dialogue. It's showing a scene without words, but it's described so much. You can take, for instance, when they came up, when Sal and his family came, they pulled up to the pizzeria, and they're getting out, and he's complaining about how much he hates this place, you know, the neighborhood, and his dad says, the AC is still not working because we can't get a technician here because it has to be police escort. He's telling you this neighborhood is deemed not to be good. And so then you see the son's attitude towards the pizzeria being in that neighborhood means he's seen some stuff he doesn't like.
Yeah, they've been there for some time.
They've been there for 25 years. Mm-hmm. So the son has seen some stuff. So, and what he has done probably caused pain to his dad in the restaurant. He then labels them as an issue. They're a problem. They're annoyance. They're very destructive. And so that pain he's seen, has caused him, has then paint a picture of all African Americans in that neighborhood as being bad.
When filmmakers, creative storytellers, when they use 2 plus 2, they allow the audience to think.
Yeah.
And I love films when everything's not spelled out for me.
Yeah.
And I think in that it gives an avenue for discussion.
Yeah.
Which is what, and we had, I think we had a longer discussion.
Almost a 2-hour discussion.
than the actual film.
Because I was even telling you this, in that scene right there, where Sal goes, he's getting so upset with his sons not listening to him. He goes, I'm going to kill somebody with these hands today. Which is then funny.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, come on. If you haven't seen the movie, then...
or if you haven't listened cares? To our previous episodes.
I don't care. But he's already telling you, it's funny how Spike Lee is... Most filmmakers are like this, but the really good ones, the way they label it. Did Sal actually kill somebody? No.
No.
But his actions that he uses with his hands end up leading to somebody's death. Not by his own hands, but Spike Lee is already telling you what the end's going to be like. And then picture that. Number Ray Rahim, who is this character who everybody kind of, in a sense, fears, but respects. In a way, they're kind of like, they're trying to be cool with him because he always has the latest stuff. He never speaks. Like the whole time you see him most of the movie, he doesn't speak until he meets Mookie in the street, which you had posted one of his monologue, part of his monologue. He has the hand, the brass knuckles that says love and hate.
Let me tell you a story.
Let me tell you something about the love and hate. Which then, that story right there tells you about the overall story. Because he says, they're battling. Love and hate are always battling. He says, but then hate is just pounding. Pounding love. Pounding.
Mm-hmm.
Whooping tail. And it looks like love is out. Because hate's going. And then all of a sudden, love wins. Right?
Mm.
He just told you the story. Because what happens, the climax, is a lot of hate. Mm. And it just seems overwhelming. And it feels like, when you're watching that scene, it feels so real. Because if we can talk about this, like what we've seen the last 3 years, the police shootings, and then you have the protests, and then you have what's happened during those protests, where it has broken out, where the police and the protesters are fighting, and it's just like, you know, then you have destruction of property. That scene, think about it, feels so real, and it feels like it's not going to end. When is it going to stop? And so...
What's going to change?
Yeah, what's going to change? And I think that's so beautiful because we also talk about this too. What there's a picture there that keeps popping up everywhere through the film by Smiley. Mm-hmm. Remember the picture?
It's Malcolm X and Martin Luther King together.
Who has two different philosophies how to bring equality. Love.
Peace.
Hate.
Change.
Love and hate.
Mm-hmm.
See, Spike Lee is layering this movie so well, and especially in the 89, you understand. Unfortunately, I think in a lot of ways, in today, we don't understand a lot that picture meant. They were, in a sense, almost, if you want to label it, like, rivals, in a sense, because they were almost the two opposites.
People saw them as being on other sides of the spectrum.
Yeah.
You know, one's over here, and the other's over
here. One was, like, almost going eye for an eye to get equality, where the other one was like, no, we need to love to get equality. And they were seen much as concerned. And if you have to look at it, it's a brilliant thing. I encourage you to look at it. Go and do your look at the history and stuff like that, because it's kind of amazing, because if you learn that and then watch this film, you'd be like, oh wow, there's so many parallels here. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's what Spike was trying to get. People in 89 understood that.
Yeah.
Where today we might not understand it as much because we don't know about the history of it. And that was huge.
Or even their relationship.
Yeah. And so,
now how often do you see that picture?
You don't. Today. You don't see that picture. And unfortunately, And it's unfortunately that even what people know about Malcolm X too as well, they know most of his early stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when after he took his trip to Mecca,
mm-hmm.
he began to start to realize what he had been talking about before was actually quite destructive, to the point where he was almost in the way like, hey.
There was a change.
Yeah, it was a change with him. There was a big change, which led to his death. And leading to his death, but unfortunately. They play that. Spike Lee is playing that love and hate. And hate rules when we don't understand one another.
Yeah.
And the mayor knew everybody. Like, he did. Because there comes a point when, was it? The showdown comes in the pizzeria.
Yeah.
Ray Raheem and,
Don't tell him, Bugging Out.
Bugging Out, yes. Where they demanded to have an African-American on the Wall of Fame, which had nothing but Italian-American.
He felt as if, in the community, you have African-Americans supporting your business the most.
Yeah.
Like, give us some respect. Show some love.
Give us respect. But
Putting
us on the board.
Yeah.
But what he didn't...
Have some honor.
But what he wasn't doing was giving him honor. Why... He never asked why he felt like he should have Italian-Americans on his wall. He never got to know Sal. In the sense, he was always in confrontation with Sal. He never took the time to actually get to know Sal.
Yeah.
And that was huge. That's huge.
And not to try to rewrite the story, because we can't, obviously. But you kind of wonder, and you can even think, we can take this into today and just in our communities and when we're dealing with other people.
By the way, that's what Spike wanted us to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why he did this film.
But what if he did, you know? So hypothetical. If he did... try, you know, to ask those questions. Why are they so important to you? Why is this person? He may have gotten an answer that he wouldn't. Maybe is rude in a sense that, like, because this is my business, and he did basically say that.
Well, but then so, you have Bugging Out say this is my business, and he throws trash on the floor.
Yeah,
and so you have, like I said, their confrontation. Now, if he had actually wanted to get to know Sal. And see, and that's love.
Are you saying persistent? If he was persistent.
Yeah, if he was persistent as he wanted to get to know Sal in love, with love, I bet that wall would change.
I think you also kind of see it with Jade.
Jade, who's Mookie's sister.
Jade was the only, I think, really, Sal,
he was the only one who treated her. He treated her like a queen.
And she's the only person he sat down with. I don't think you don't see him sitting down with anybody.
Well,
right?
No, he wasn't
at the restaurant.
But he was. But think about, okay. So, number when the mayor came in, I mean, he treated the mayor like he was a king.
Right, but he was like behind the
counter. Well, he was getting ready, but he didn't want to sit down anyways, because the mayor came in asking what he could do to help him. And you know, he says, "Where you see your hand?" He grabbed me and he gave him some money. And mayor went out the thing, but he treated him like a king. Like, he came in, you know, oh, you really want to help? Yeah, you really want to help me. You could tell that there was a relationship there. They kind of knew each other. And what you also found out about Jay, too, prior to her coming in there, the way she talked to Mookie about his job working at Sal's is that she actually got to know, you could tell that she knew Sal. I mean, I'm talking about, no, I know who Sal, the name, and he owns a pizza restaurant. No, like, she actually knows him. Like, knows, you know, maybe his wife, whose wife's name, to where does he live at, to what does he like to do when he's not working, what is his favorite pizza, you know, and, like, I'm talking about, I actually got to know him. And it felt like, you felt like
that. Vice versa.
Vice versa, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like, he's getting to know.
And that's probably why Mookie got the job there. Because of that relationship that they two have. Because as soon as she walked in, it was like, he was like, I'm honoring you. And he lifted her right up. Like, she was like a queen that walked in there, and he was like, you know.
I see her doing the same.
Yeah, because she was so polite to him. Right. The way she was talking to him, it was like, these two people know each other, and they're giving honor to one another. And there was no contention, and it was beautiful. And you can tell that others did not like that, though.
Yeah. And just, like, how it really is, you know, with emotions.
Yeah.
Emotions take over and rive up, and you see ugliness, and we all have some ugliness.
Which happens there at the end. I think we kind of got away from that part. But, yeah, when Ray Raheem and Bugging Out come in there and demand, Raheem has the music playing from his radio again for a second time, and Sal's like, turn the music off, and they're yelling at him. And what do you see? You see frustrations on both sides. Then you start to hear words, descriptions, degrading each other as if each other are not human. To when a baseball comes out by Sal, he busts up the radio. Mm. And then there's a huge fight in the pizza restaurant that then balls out. And then the neighborhood jumps in. Then you hear, police come. Like, it's like this epic, crazy crap where then the police are pulling Ray Raheem off to a point. He's struggling. He's trying to get back in to fight Sal. And then he's being choked, and they're assuming that he's struggling to resisting to get back in the fight, and then he dies, choked to death, which then the freaking neighborhood erupts, and there's contention, and then as much as the contention goes, here comes the mayor, who comes between Sal and the neighborhood, and is pleading for everybody just to go home. Go to bed. Go rest. Because your feelings are in the way. And it's funny, he was protecting Sal. And then there came a pivotal moment there where Mookie had to do what? Make a choice. He can do what he felt. With how he felt. Or he could do the right thing. Well, he did what he felt. Which you can tell he was being pressured throughout the whole film. To represent his skin color in that sense. And that's what he ended up doing by throwing the trash can through the window.
While we still have time, let's talk about the cinematography. How the camera played, the angles, the lighting, how that helped with the story.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was interesting parts there because, like, if you follow me on Instagram and Facebook, I tilted the camera to kind of tease about the coffee in the movie. I tilted it because he did these tilted angle shots several times when, you know, there was kind of playful confrontation. I call it playful confrontation because that's what it was. And it was a couple of times he did it, and he would turn the camera.
It's like when somebody says something, you kind of tilt your head like to the side, like, huh?
Yeah. So it was interesting there, but there was also the classic Spike Lee, which we know today was full frontal camera, you know, cameras to people fastly approaching the camera. This is his creative way to help the story, you know. In that instance, we were talking about there, you have everybody from each different races degrading the other really quick, and then you have Samuel L. Jackson's character, the Love Doctor, come sliding to the camera as if he's coming to break it up. Mm-hmm. Break up the fight, and with love. And that's so funny. he did some stuff, and there was times when the lighting, like when the mayor was lit up when he was talking to Mother's sister.
Yeah.
It was because she was giving honor to him, and he was just kind of...
He was glowing.
But yeah, the cinematography helped a lot with that. And it helped with a lot with, especially the climax part. Because they were showing all the different races. Because you also then had the Puerto Ricans in with the African Americans in the community who were up against Sal. And when they burned down his place, they went after the Koreans. And the camera shifted on the right there on the Korean side when they're getting ready to go across.
Like, the shop owner was swinging that broom.
Oh man, he was swinging that broom hard, man. Yeah, wicked.
He even said, "I'm black."
I'm like, I'm down with y'all, which was funny, but.
And there's really no other film that I can think of prior to Do the Right Thing that did that unique.
The camera angle.
Camera angles, and yeah. It was refreshing to see that again.
Well, that's Spike. That's just Spike.
That's just awesome.
It's his signature. You expect that a lot. Like, we were watching and then Inside Man, and you kind of like, this doesn't feel like a Spike Lee until that one moment. And it was a Denzel Carter. Yeah, I said, see, there he is. He can't help, but it's his signature. That's just who he is, and it's so great to see that. If you haven't seen Black Klansman, you've seen the trailers. There's a scene that you see.
We haven't even seen it yet, yeah. Really.
But there's a scene there. You see in the trailer that them coming towards the camera. The camera's kind of going. Yeah. That's classic Spike Lee. But you know what's so interesting about this film? I think it's so great. Is that Mookie does the right thing. The next day after.
Through all of that.
He goes back to Sal's to get his money. And he's just getting his money. And Sal's upset with him. He's yelling at him. And he says to Mookie says to Sal, well, you can just file an insurance claim. And Sal, and then this is the part that Mookie never knew about Sal, which is important, is that Sal says to him, you think I did this for the money? He says, I built this place with my bare hands. This was his life. And he was really expressing to him, and it's funny in that moment. Mookie changed how he was talking to Sal. There was a change. Because he was the only one who pretty much approached Sal after all the stuff that happened the night before. And that's why it ended up being doing the right thing. He was actually getting to know him. And you know, you may not have a job back there. You know, if Sal does, we don't know if he rebuilds. We know that Mookie probably doesn't have a job there. But they got to know each other more in that moment. Because even in Mookie, he even explained, you know, he kind of expressed a little bit about himself there too, to him. It might have been small, but it was a start. More so than they had ever did you seen the whole film, the whole story, which was beautiful. So he ended up doing the right thing. But it's okay. And I think it's funny to see a character not do the right thing, but then do the right thing. That it's not a perfect story,
mm-hmm.
not perfect characters. Yeah. And how sometimes instances and feelings. But the funny thing is that, like I said, it's balanced on how he told the story behind the scenes. You understood why everybody was reacting the way they were.
Right.
And I love that. Because you as an audience, a viewer, you got to know it. And that was important. Why was the African American community feeling mm-hmm. the way they were feeling? Why was Sal feeling the way he was feeling? Why was the Koreans like feeling the way he was? In that moment, said you understood both sides.
Yeah.
But I think that was interesting because I think Spike wanted us to have a conversation after the film.
Yeah, and he also wanted to bring honor to those who were misunderstood, who were. Who experienced injustice, who did not get a chance to have a discussion.
Correct. And I think the final, when it goes to the credits, it actually doesn't credit, it has two quotes, one from Martin Luther King, one from Malcolm X, and they're beautiful. And he's, like, that love-hate we have a decision how we can then win. Because, and again, when Mookie goes back, that's love coming back in, knocking out hate. We have a decision how we can then approach each other. We can approach each other with hate in the moments that we're having confrontation. We can approach it with hate, or we can approach it with love. And it's kind of like, hint, hint, let's choose love here.
But it's going to be a journey that needs to be taken.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Mookie was, if Sal rebels, Mookie is probably not going to have a job back. Maybe. But I'll guarantee, I probably, with Sal, he probably doesn't have a job there. But does not mean that they won't grow in relationship with each other. And maybe get to know each other over time. Mm-hmm. And journey together in that, which was, became very beautiful. It's like, they need to embody the mayor who knew everybody because he took the time to.
Mm-hmm. And so, we can take that into our everyday lives and our community.
We also can take that in this nice cup of coffee too and get to know it.
More and more.
Any final, I would say, I think I talk a lot because.
You do, but that's okay.
You want any parting shots?
Well, cheers. Straightforward but multi-layered film with a straightforward coffee. It's all good to me. If you haven't watched Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing,
then what are you waiting for?
I highly recommend it.
And have a conversation.
Shoot. Over a cup of Blanchard's blend.
Well, I would say this. Still pulling that, you know, that plastic bag of popcorn.
That nasty movie butter.
All right, you trying to talk like you from Brooklyn?
No.
Instead of pulling that nasty bag of popcorn out, you have to open, and you're afraid that you might burn it because you might overcook it in the microwave, which is one of the worst smells ever.
It takes forever to get it out of your.
And so then, instead of going through all that trouble, why don't you brew yourself a nice hot cup of coffee and enjoy your classic film? And you're guaranteed to stay awake the whole film.
Thank you so much for listening to Coffee and Classic Movies. We hope you can join us next Saturday. We like to drop new episodes at 10 a.m. Don't forget to subscribe and share with your friends and family. Until next time.